Blog Talk Radio.
Who killed you? I did. Who killed me? You did. Thank you for that song, Coolio. It's time for my rap. Took a bullet to my soul. Took a bullet for my soul. What you die for? I don't know. Took a bullet for my soul. Took a bullet for your soul. Why I'm killing, I don't know. With your blood, I'll make the claim. With your blood, I'll make the claim. Create the empathy to ease my pain. I'm the hero and the villain. I'm the centerpiece of this mission. I don't know your name or face. Only why I feel the base. What you die for, I don't know. My ultra mission will leave a trace. Took a bullet to my soul. Took a bullet for my soul. What you die for, I don't know. Took a bullet for your soul. Feed my destiny, create cries, why I do it, to expose your lie. In 2 weeks now, make more news. Each life I take is just a bruise. Name the symptoms, ignore the curse of why you help to make things worse. Took a bullet to my soul, took a bullet to my soul. What you die for, I don't know. Welcome to the show. That was my rap. We got three people on the line. John, Ben, and Don. Thank you for all calling in a timely manner. It's only a 45-minute show tonight. I'll pull you in alphabetically. Good evening, Ben.
Good evening.
Sorry to hear your power was out.
No problem. It happens all the time.
I'm going to talk to these guys too. My friend Gina in Southern Oregon, her son moved to Port Washington this weekend, and I'm pretty sure he got stuck in a snowstorm. Good evening, Don.
Hello, everybody.
Do I get critical acclaim for my rap?
Criticism? Yeah, sure. Exactly. I'm just wondering.
It was a little cringy.
Yeah, a
little pitchy. I didn't sing it. I said it. I spoke it.
It was an interesting.
Well, I wrote it in 10 minutes, you guys. So come on.
Okay, we'll give you that. That's perfect. She wrote it.
John, you're on
minutes,
the line.
Hello, Snow Queen. I liked the rap. It was from your heart. And as you know, art is subjective. Some people will love it for the same reason others will hate it. So I thought it was from your heart. And I'm sure it's going to be a hit.
The underlying message was the killer probably doesn't even know why he did it or for what reason. Since mass school shootings are usually provoked by killing complete strangers, and the person screwed up, which is something society creates and something the person with a goofy state of mind creates.
Well, why don't
Would anyone
you, no,
care to
sounds,
comment?
Yeah, it sounds more like people going into the military. They have no freaking clue why they're enlisting or being drafted. And then they go ahead and go and do it anyway. That's almost what it sounds like. But, this guy, he was a member, he was a budding leader of the Florida Republic. And that is a white supremacist organization looking for secession. So,
wait, what?
The kid was not
a leader of anything.
True, Don, but that wasn't the epicenter of his problems.
I watched
a video on the foster parents who took him in, or the people who took him in. They said that he was so clueless, he didn't even know how to work a microwave. They had to teach him how to do his laundry. And they were joking in the household that they're teaching him adulting 101. So I just think he was a lost soul, basically.
He was a lost soul involved in the white supremacist group, Florida Republic. That's what he was. So they're all white. All those white supremacists are lost souls. As I've been saying, it's that nobody's doing their job, so nobody has a clue.
We'll accept your comment. However, he killed whites and Latinos primarily. Ben or John, would you like to go?
I think Ben should go first.
All right. First of all, there was all kinds of warning signs that should have been followed. If the police had been to talk with him over 30 times, he should not have been on a shooting team. He shouldn't have had rights to buy a firearm. And that can be that can be seen with his behavior at home and at school, being expelled, destroying things when he gets angry. He obviously had an anger problem. He threw temper tantrums as an adult. Those are all warning signs.
He killed squirrels at age 11.
Yeah, but Ben is saying that nobody's doing their job. That's what I've been saying for years.
Right, and I don't think
well,
it has anything
true,
to
the
do
Mississippi
with race.
The Mississippi bondsman also made a report to the FBI.
Right. Yeah, he was reported for a comment saying he was going to be a professional school shooter. Who dropped the ball there?
The
FBI
who doesn't do their job. Nobody does their job. Nobody. From the president on down. Nobody does their job, and that's why I'm so active and adamant in getting everybody else active in the process, because nobody does their job. Mitch McConnell came out, first day Obama came out and said, was inaugurated and said, we're not going to do our jobs. That's exactly what he said.
Not exactly. The
Come
point
on,
is,
lying.
Wait.
That's
the point
bullshit.
Is he was adopted young. His adoptive father died at age 5. His mother died of the flu in November. I'm wondering
wow.
if he was left even. I'm sure he was left with some life insurance because he grew up in a lucrative neighborhood. And then
right.
Go ahead.
And lucky him. I feel so sorry for him. Try growing up in a household where you have no chance to buy a house, even if you have cash, or get the right, you know, food, have a food desert. This is incredible.
I'm just saying there's a lot of holes in the story. We don't know what – we know that a family took him in, but we don't really know what his complete circumstances were. And he brought about 4 guns with him into the house, and the lady who took him in, he gave her the key to the cabinet, but he kept one for himself, and she said he had to ask permission to get his guns out, but all along he had his own key.
So this is something that Donald Trump could have foreseen and prevented, and the formulation of this issue happened in the last 14 months, not the first 18 years of his life? Is that the conclusion?
I'm not agreeing with Don. I think I agree with Ben in the sense, I don't disagree with anyone, but I do agree with Ben and other people in the sense that there should have been some warning signs that were followed. And the lady took him to therapy a couple days before he did it, and he was looking into insurance options. But the problem is why people choose this method of problem solving. Like, they're angry at somebody, they're angry at the world, and they think by killing people they're going to solve a problem.
Well, some people, I think that 98% of all gun deaths are from handguns. Half of those are suicides. And basically 300 to 400 or 500 people a year will get killed by an assault weapon. So you're talking comparatively to other things. Basically, imagine if you had an arena with 4,000 people, and then imagine that there's one person standing outside. That one person will get shot by an assault weapon, but on the inside of the arena of 4,000 people, they'll be killed by cancer, heart attack, diabetes, drunk drivers. I think drunk drivers is going to be 10,000 people a year killed. So that's going to be, about 30 times the chance you're going to be killed by someone. Kill some innocent kids, teenagers, and adults because they're drinking and driving. So I guess the question is, in a sensational press, do we outlaw alcohol? I mean, that's 30 times more the
right.
demon everyone's drinking. I'm not saying that this is bad. I'm just saying I think
that was a very brilliant way to bring up your statistics. And I do have a guest caller in from the 845. So hold that thought a minute, John.
Okay,
you can continue, John, in a second.
We shouldn't discount violence against children, but I think this is a dramatic situation that's being taken to this nth degree, and they should, you know, be carefully to look at the whole situation. Is this the biggest, you know, like, should we just ban the assault weapon and then this will solve the problem that we're having, yeah, perhaps?
Well, the thing is we do deal with drunk drivers and we do deal with other types of killing, but the message that's coming across from Parkland, Florida, is that we have to do something more. What we're doing is not enough, and let's take this caller in, please. Good evening from the 845. Would you like to comment or listen?
Yeah, greetings. It's Mike. You're up in New York. Hey,
Mike. Hi,
Mike.
We haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, I've been busy. You know how work has a way of having a pulling on your leash. You know how that works. How it helps.
By the way,
I'm
sure you like the title of my show, Mike.
Yeah, but I mean, I've been debating it with a lot of people out there, and you guys got to remember. I don't know how many of you on the show are gun owners, but or people that are anti-gun that are blinded with the fear and the anger that's out there instead of being able to look at it objectively. But you got to remember, I had two federal licenses. I used to be a gun dealer for years, and I still have my full carry permit here in New York, which I'd like to see. And it's not easy to get. Westchester County, it's not easy to get. So, I mean, they check you out up and down.
That's
so,
go ahead and make your comments. Albert's on hold. And go ahead. The title of the show is America's Romance Destiny with Death, Mass Killing.
Yeah. Well, I think the media is not doing, they're really not doing the public a service by overlooking the main things here, the main problems. There's an article that you can see that was in the Chicago Tribune. The title is FBI's Gun Background Check Database is Missing Records of Millions of Cases. The NICS background system is flawed. What the federal government has to do, to tell you the truth, is there are two things that would start off. First off, Congress should pass a law mandating that the courts turn over records of felons, convicted felons, to the FBI so they can put them in the next system. And also, healthcare providers start turning over records of anyone that they've deemed or that's been diagnosed and being treated for schizophrenia, severe depression, if they're delusional or psychotic, and if they're a danger to themselves or others. And there should be oversight over that to make sure that that is not used as a tool by the politicians or the judges, or because we all know how the government can misuse things like that and is it for their own benefit instead of for the intended.
Guess,
so if they did something
like this,
I would
disagree a little bit with that.
Ben, go ahead.
I think in this country, I think a person has every right to be a danger to themselves. But you can see signs of a child that will be a danger to others. This kid showed all those signs. He showed all of the signs that he was going to be dangerous for others.
Yep. And the Baker Act that's down in Florida, which says that they have to turn in and send somebody for a psychiatric evaluation, they had his health care, his mental health care representative or whatever, because he was getting treatment. I mean, three or four years, they had 39 visits. The police went to the house. If you really look in depth at the background of this kid, you look at it and go, how did this one slip through the cracks, as they keep saying it? Well, that health care provider told the cop there's no reason to report him under the Baker Act because they would have taken him away. His name would have been on the NICS system. He would have been – but no, that representative that he had, that one is – now, he's not the only one. That advocate wasn't the only one that stopped it. The police repeatedly went over there. In one of the reports, he said Cruz spoke about buying a gun. That should have been a red flag. He'd been getting treatment, and he was getting drugs. He was getting psychotropic drugs to try to cure. That should have been reported. There are federal laws out there that say that the healthcare providers have to turn over the names and records and everything over there, but they haven't been doing it. So the answer years ago for the federal government was, we're going to give so many millions of dollars to Florida because Florida had a huge problem. They weren't reporting to the NICS system. So the federal government gave them millions, and this state over here will give you millions to help you update and get us the records for the NICS. And it never worked. The state loved it because that money went into the general fund.
What do you think about the What do you think about the proliferation of AR-15?
I don't see any difference with it. I don't see any difference with it with the AR-15 or, say, even if I took a Mini-14, same caliber.
Right, that's what
right?
I'm saying, the MDL.
223, 556, whatever, same caliber, same gun, same functions. But you know what they're so afraid of? That works too good. Oh, my God, that thing is efficient. It's too fast. It works too good. And the problem isn't the gun. We've allowed...
Albert, you're on the line.
We've allowed them to empty out the asylums, let them live among us, and then we wonder why we have problems. I think I brought it up in the last...
Nobody's doing their job.
Nobody's doing
their
job.
Right?
If you do a search...
This guy was a kid who was...
Quiz.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
I got a pop quiz for everybody. How many of us know what AR stands for?
Armalite.
Automatic rifle.
Nope.
Armalite
nope.
rifle. Armalite was the first brand to come out with a rifle called AR model. And it means
yep.
Armalite rifle. Everybody that says assault rifle is dead wrong.
Yeah.
Because
they don't know.
An assault rifle has a selector switch that can make it fully automatic, and that's a military weapon.
And there's no real
None of us.
Weapon, there's no such thing as an assault rifle anyway. I could use it one day for defensive. I could use it one day for offensive. So now what is it? Well, it's semantics. Well, today it's my defensive weapon. It's a game. And the misinformed that are out there, they just sit there and nod their pointy little heads and run with it because they don't know the difference. Most of the people that are out there,
well,
you think they
Well, whether we know the difference
them.
Or not, people are still being killed. And by the way,
there
Albert's on the line.
Now, there you go. That comes down to the fear. We don't care about the facts. All we know is people are getting killed. That's what's driving. It's the fear. Oh, my God, we have to do something. The same attitude happened in the Salem witch trials. That didn't go very well either.
Well, yeah,
like
I said in the past, it's not the guns themselves that I'm necessarily against. I'm against the fact that it's going against the Constitution and that we're supposed to be a regulated militia. And that's... not in the Constitution, no amendments, no shirking the meaning, shirking of the meaning or anything like that.
I'd like to add about what you're talking about. I mean, sure, when there's a shooting, they say, oh, we got to do something. We got to change the laws or something because it was a mass shooting. Well, they never say, oh, somebody got stabbed. We got to do something about the knives. Oh, the knife. Oh, no, somebody got run over by a car because the guy was drunk. We got to do something really big about these drunk drivers. No. Oh, you know what? Somebody got killed with a hammer. We got to do something about these hammers. They're never. They never mention nothing about that. A second guy gets killed by a gun. That's the only way. Then they're going to change laws and they're going to make a big deal about it. Any other way, you get murdered, nobody cares. Nobody cares if you get murdered with a hammer or a knife. Right? But everybody wants to know when you got murdered with a gun. Now, here's the thing, okay? Because when you put more gun regulations, like I said, for those who are especially ill or something, that doesn't mean that if you have these sort of problems that you're going to commit murders or whatnot. Some people there's some people that are excessive compulsives have stress disorders, they're really stressed, but they're not necessarily, some of you guys already know that I'm a gun owner, I have a handgun and a shotgun, and I have taken an antidepressant pills before, and I haven't committed any murders, yet, and that's been many years, and I've been a gun owner for 10 years, so, still no murders, even though I took an anti-depression pills, but, I'm still me, that's the problem. If they start making rules and regulations, for like a guy like me taking anti-depression pills, I might lose my guns just because I'm taking those pills, and I think that's wrong.
In New York, you will.
That's what they're trying to do.
Right now.
That's exactly
right
what
now, you will.
Do.
There's a law that's been passed. It was passed in 2013 in New York called the SAFE Act. If you type in on Google, list of drugs, SAFE Act, New York, and you'll see it on a New York gun board. It's a forum. They have two pages of drugs that are listed. If you have a prescription and they get copies, the state police get copies of the prescriptions that you get. And everybody says, wait a minute, That's invasion of privacy under HIPAA laws. You can't. Yeah, that's nice. Really good. Keep it up. It doesn't do anything. They can, if you take Chantix, the ingredient that's in Chantix, because you want to quit smoking, the police have the right to come to your house and take all your firearms, handguns, shotguns, rifles, everything. They did it. There are articles about it where there was a retired cop in Long Island who was selling his house, bought a new house. He was having trouble sleeping. And he went to the hospital, and he said, I'm having trouble sleeping. Is there something you can give him? They prescribed Ativan to him. It's on the list. That was it. The next day, state police came
right
to his house.
And
all of his guns.
Isn't it strange that the wealthiest lobbying firms are pharmaceutical firms?
Mm-hmm.
So they can work with the leadership to create things that attack a certain part of the brain so they can put it on their list. And then in other areas, like in the social movements and things, they're promoting unhealthy psychological behaviors.
I mean,
so
the problem is multifaceted. It's multifaceted. I mean, it's society, yes. We have problems with society where they've taken accountability, respect, honor, everything, religion off the table. So basically it's do whatever you want, man, and you're not going to be held accountable for whatever you do. You can justify it, and if you want to go out and you're an atheist and murder somebody, well, you have rights. And we have to be considerate. We're humanitarian. We're progressive today. We have to give you your rights for your trial and be understanding. And did you see some of the articles about Cruz that came out? He was a broken individual. Oh, my God. He had such a tough – who cares? He was a murderer. You think I'm going to sit there and start showing compassion for this lunatic? For what he
Jane
did.
Did.
The articles.
Jane
they
did.
Yeah, well.
I'm here. What's the question?
They're supporting Cruz.
For everyone equally and evenly distributed and fairly. And I think Jane does too.
Well, until we wake
by
up.
By the way, I
scheduled
another show for 10 p.m. your time. So if you when our show ends at 9:45, you have to call back in at 10 if you guys want to.
All right.
Well, yeah, but the thing about this is that, you know, everybody brushes off the fact that he has connections with the Florida supremacist groups and stuff like that. You guys are missing the point. The point is that everybody knew. Every fucking body knew.
And did nobody
did their job.
No,
period.
The FBI didn't. Law enforcement didn't. I agree. The medical profession, they didn't. Nobody did it. They didn't follow up on it. They let it go because everybody, we're a compassionate society now. We're progressive. Everybody has rights. And those rights are costing lives. It's time to grow up. That's enough is enough.
There you go. There
yeah,
you go. Finding somebody's been listening to me.
Yeah, and the FBI, you know, even though they surveil everybody's computers and, you know, records everybody's, you know, messages and, you know, literally spies on everybody, and they can't stop a single crime. I mean, it's just useless. I think it's just a waste of money of spying on everybody if you can't even
nobody's
stop
doing their job. It's a waste of money. It's long.
You know,
they can't even stop Posey Bear from unveiling DNC emails.
You know, another thing that would be great is if the government passed a law giving the schools the tools that they need to make sure and do the utmost they can to make sure that this doesn't happen again. So that if they had a law that gave the administrators, the psychiatrists for the school, the counselors, even the police, the right to look at a student, and if you have a student with behavioral problems, aggressive, a history of aggressiveness, and where this kid's got issues, then they can mandate that this kid has psychological, goes through some sort of psych exam, and take him out of the school, get him the help he needs in the setting that is correct, give him the help that he needs, not in the school, and get him out of society. Years ago, we used to take these people out of society.
School, they have a school like that up here in Minnesota, an alternative
school
for kids.
And
yeah,
is
it's a law
a
with
law
too many behavioral problems.
There's a federal law.
They actually send them to a special
has the right,
school.
Against
like,
their will. Against their will.
Yeah. The parents have to consent,
the point.
I'm pretty sure.
There we go.
But
no,
they're pulled
no,
out
awesome.
Of mainstream
now,
schools.
No, no, parents, yeah. No consent. This is a federal, the same way the schools can go in your locker and search for drugs without, your rights mean nothing at that point. They should have a law that says it doesn't matter about the parents because part of the problem could be the parents as well. The government should have the right to take that kid out of school, unplug him, send him for a psych exam. If that kid needs treatment, get him the treatment he needs. And then start looking at the family and everything behind it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
true, you guys,
state.
But like John said earlier, we still might not be able to stop it. And this kid was, he'd already been out of the school for over a year. He was 19 years old in an adult
yeah.
school.
Well,
he wasn't
I
in the school system.
I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you, looking at his picture, I don't mean to judge a book by its cover, but the kid looked jacked up. I mean, I wouldn't even give him the keys to my car. If I saw a kid like that walking up to me, I would think twice about, now I know you obviously can't make evaluations based off of appearance, but I will say this, the majority of people that are hollering for the AR to be discontinued are the same people who distrust the president, who distrust the Republican Congress. And I'm wondering why they would want to actually disarm themselves from a government that may pull a coup on them one day, or that they distrust to that level. To me, I mean, if we think about our history, we actually revolted from the government that was over us. We also had a civil war. We also had a civil rights battle a few years back. It's about every 50 to 100 years, you know, societies go berserk. And the question is, I don't own a gun, but I certainly would want to have an AR-15 with my neighbor if I couldn't trust my government.
Well, how about this, John? That might be true, but you're kind of a – well, you like our government and you support it, but – the question is should a certain number of faculty have guns on the school campus? Why don't you guys
maybe
explore
if we
that
rid of,
question?
Hell
maybe
no.
If we get the lunatics. Maybe if we get the lunatics
hell
out of the school, we wouldn't have to worry about it.
There should be an armed guard
hell
at every
no.
school. There needs to be. We had police officers at my school because of the gang violence. And you know what happened? They moved off of campus when they wanted to fight. So, you know what? That becomes the police's
problem.
Whoever
rattling that stuff, I'm going to have to mute you. No rattling.
No. Sounds like paper being rustled around.
Yeah, I can't afford it financially when I'm transferring all these shows to YouTube and paying someone to do it. So you'll be unmuted in 2 minutes when you stop. Okay, go ahead.
All right, we had
I'm not the one who suggested that guns be put on campus. I heard it from another news source.
I am suggesting that. I think they need an armed guard for this, because if it's required by law that I have to put my kids in a school for all of their day, every day, I have to trust the system with my only kids, they should be secure. And if everybody at the school is unarmed and it's a gun-free zone, they're an easy, soft target. And those are the targets that always get hit.
Yeah, and Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, they're surrounded by armed military people with superly armed weapons. And the school can't even have one security with a damn gun.
Well, a school I worked in California had a metal detector once. But I think that they did away with it about a year later.
Well,
it was only short term.
They need a mental detector instead of a metal detector. But I will say this, that as far as there's such a big move of people saying on the internet, we don't care about prayers or being or thoughts, and that we want you to change the laws. Well, here's an interesting thought. When I was in high school, I was raised in church, and I was taught in church to love and forgive and be a kind person that was thoughtful. And I was taught that prayer changes your inner character. And I prayed and I was a better person. When I went to school, bad kids had knives and smoked pot or cigarettes. That's the really, really bad people. I think beyond having armed guards, there's something wrong with our culture. We are so far away from a spiritual place that we used to be, whether it's Mayberry or whatever you want to call it, or a utopia American dream. But whether that's possible or not, something is different in this culture than it was 40 years ago. And it doesn't matter how many guns or how many drugs you give kids. That's the difference. In the 80s, we started giving kids drugs. When I was growing up, we didn't drug out our kids. And there wasn't all the video games with all this excessive violence, you know. So I think that has an effect we've got to figure out.
But I think we're really doing well and we're getting ahead. I mean, just think of all the trans-testicle bathrooms we have that everybody could use. I think it's a wonderful world. Oh, my goodness. What do you think?
Well,
You're absolutely right.
One point I want to bring up, you guys, is you have to look at Parkland, Florida. It was named as one of the safest cities. Now, what if it was... What if it was in the heart of the urban Miami? Like, obviously there's bigger risks in places like Queens and Miami than there is in Columbus, Ohio, or Des Moines, Iowa. So we have to look at the environmental factors.
No,
I don't think it matters where it
is. Everywhere. Mental illness is everywhere. It doesn't matter what town, what city, mental illness is everywhere. And unless you address it, and you take these kids out of the school and take the other ones out of society. I think, as I mentioned to you, you can do that search for the article from 2013 called Here Come the Crazies in the New York Post, where Governor Cuomo cut loose something like 4,000 or 5,000 psychos out of the institutions and let them live freely among society out here. And weeks later, all of a sudden, we had people getting pushed off train platforms, attacked with hammers.
Well, Reagan did that in the 80s when he was California governor.
Yeah, and it all comes down to money. They want to shut down the asylums to save money. But we pay the price. Society pays the price for that. No more. We got to wake up.
In Minnesota, they moved a lot of the crazies into group homes where they have where I work, and we have a lot of high-risk clients. Sometimes they beat up the staff or try to take them out with a knife. And
nice, yeah.
My company is getting paid extra money for the super crazies, but they're still only paying us $12 an hour.
Right. Sure. Is it worth it? They're all over the streets here. There's parts of town that are just people walking around that aren't even self-aware.
No,
but
there's no reason they should be out.
There is a component of... You program your mind to behave in certain ways. And by that I mean is when I grew up, understand, the top shows were the Beverly Hillbillies, Mayberry, RFD, if you understand what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, we had cowboy Indian things, but the point is it was a romantic thing. You weren't sitting there thinking of going out and shooting an Indian. It was play. I'm saying I know kids, church kids, nice kids, and you know what they do for 10 hours? They're on a mission shooting and killing as many people in their video game. And what I'm saying is when you have 10 or 15 million or 50 million young men, kids, teenagers, so forth, programming for 10 hours a day on their mission to kill and assault as many people as possible, I'm saying out of those 50 million, you're going to have a couple thousand kids that are whacked out. Not all of them are going to do this. So I'm just saying this is a different programming. We weren't grown and raised that way 40 years ago to think this way.
No, we weren't. Now they've desensitized the kids. It's a different culture. And I mean, I'll tell you, a lot of the more and more as years go by, the liberal attitudes have done a lot of damage to this country. They've done a lot of damage, and now they don't know what to do.
Well, here, let me put it this way. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Let me talk about the liberals, okay? Like, let's just say Hillary Clinton, right? Hillary Clinton has bodyguards that are armed to the teeth. But again, she is against guns. She kind of wants to ban all guns. She literally said that during her campaign. in a way when she was asked about what do you think about Australia's gun ban and do you want to do that here? And she says, well, I think that's a good idea and that's something to look forward to. And those are the words she said. And she does want to ban guns, and she wants to put accountable gun stores accountable for anybody that buys a gun at a gun store and commits a crime. She wants the gun store to be accountable and be able to get sued, therefore taking the gun stores out of business. In many other ways, Hillary Clinton has showed that, you know, she's literally against guns. She just doesn't want guns. Nobody had guns except for her bodyguards and, of course, the police.
She's not a liberal, though.
Yeah.
Hillary's not a liberal. She was using the liberal platform to move her fascism. She's actually a fascist. She wanted to take the rights away from anybody that could defend themselves. She actually named the NRA. She wanted to take them down. She wanted to take the Tea Party movement, the Republicans in general.
Yes,
because they're her best opposition.
Fascist. I understand that you see her as a fascist, but, you know, she does run under the liberal Democrats. I mean, she's been a Democrat for a really long time, for almost forever. So she's literally been in the Liberal Party forever. So she's,
You know what Chuck Swindoll said? A dead man has no rights. In other words, if you're alive to sin, you're already dead. Now, I'm for taking down the NRA. I'll take them down. But
why?
I won't do it with a gun.
Well, what have they done?
Why are you against the NRA?
I just don't like that, as George W. Bush said about terrorists, I don't like that group of folks. I don't like
the
NRA.
NRA. Why?
Okay.
You're defending gun rights?
That's consistent with...
They just seem to have this mentality that they have an inherent right to carry a gun... And,
yeah,
and that's their sole identity, and they're proud of it, and they can't see the forest past the trees.
I know, and I have a right under the Second Amendment to carry my gun, and I do every day. I'm always armed when I leave the house.
But does
even
it
right
make
now,
you a better person? Does it make you a better person?
Yes, it does, because if something happens in the street, just like you have a fire extinguisher at the house, does that mean I plan on having a fire at the house? No, but I'm prepared. I will not be a victim. As I told you in the last show, I was in the middle of a Northbridge earthquake. I lived in L.A. during the riots, the floods, the fires, and everything else. And I saw firsthand how liberals act like that. Remember I told you that? How I had that fight with the guy who told me that you're a gun owner, you're a prey? You're right. So this is it.
2-minute warning. Our show's cutting off in 2 minutes. I'm not totally against the NRA. I just don't like the frame and their mindset.
Is defending the Second Amendment. They're defending the Second Amendment.
Jane, you have to consider that America, original America, was built by people who said, we have guns, we're going to fight for this country and for our rights. And same thing when there was a wild, wild west. You remember when you go out there? You know, you'd have the sheriff walk into town. He's got a gun. He's going to clean up the town. We've gotten to the sanitized level that we don't trust the people. The mindset is that the government has to take care of the people because we can't think. So, therefore, we'll give you the free education, the health care. We'll take away your guns. We'll make things safe. We'll give you drugs because we can't trust you. You're sheep. But a true
American understand the nature of the Second Amendment. When British was coming down, and with the British Quartering Act, where they forced people to take in the British Army when they didn't want to, and I understand that time frame, but I don't like the way that people just assert their gun rights and expect other people who are against possessing guns to accept it. And by the way, you guys, if you want to call,
you
can call back in 15 minutes. We're getting cut off for in about a minute. FYI.
And I have a quick quote.
The Second Amendment is for the regulated, well-regulated militia. Mike, if you're a militia man, then that's fine. If you're not, that's fine.
Read it again.
Well,
that's a separate sentence.
Read, Read it again. The terminology that was used back when that was written has a complete different meaning if you read it through today's, what the words mean today.
Well, when the
so
Second
you have to
Amendment
go through the
was
Jefferson
first created,
papers and everything else.
When the Second Amendment was first created, it was just only created for white people, and black people couldn't have guns back way back then, but, you know, that's a long time ago, but, you know.
Good point, Albert. That's
way too long ago.
And that
ago
changed
for
also.
That.
That changed also when they had the shotgun canvases that they did after the Civil War, where the Democrats were using guns to intimidate the blacks and stop them from voting. And that's a fact. So you really have to do a lot of history on it and read up on it to see the changes. Like the bas-relief bronze that's in Ohio that shows Abraham Lincoln holding a musket in one hand, and there's a slave kneeling to him, and he's taking away the shackles from the slave, and he's handing him the musket with the other hand. In other words, he's taking away the fact that he was a slave, the shackles, and handing him a rifle to defend his freedom. That's heavy duty.
I'm glad you guys said that, but my studio keyboard said that this episode has ended. So if you all could hang up and call back in 15 minutes, I'd appreciate it. For some reason,
yeah,
it didn't
it
cut us off yet, but it will. Okay?
Okay.
See you in a bit.
Okay. All right.